But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Will you pause? Will you bow your heads? And let's acknowledge to our God, you, our Lord, that we need your help. We need you to teach us to walk with your Spirit, filling us to the overflow with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and now faithfulness. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. So this morning, here we are in Jamestown, Ohio, July the 28th, 2024. And you know what? The world isn't a bit concerned about us today. Instead, the whole world has their eyes focused on another place, in another city. All eyes are on Paris, France, where 10,500 athletes have gathered, representing teams from more than 200 countries. And they'll compete some more than 300 events with 32 sports. These athletes that gather in Paris, they know something about faithfulness. They really do. They've dedicated themselves to consistent training, to undying devotion, and really a sacrificial commitment to make it to the Olympic Games. Well, our calling as followers of Jesus isn't a short-lived game. Instead, our calling as followers of Jesus is a lifelong pursuit. A pursuit of our Savior with the increasing desire to become more like Him. So this morning, let's consider the fruit of faithfulness. Faithfulness to our God and His people. Now, in the past 2 weeks, we've spent time here in the fruits of the Spirit, and we've discovered the heart of goodness leads to acts of kindness. And thank you for the two pastors for paving the way in these fruits of the Spirit that we can gather here today. And today, you might say that these fruits of the Spirit are, I like to think of them as a fruit cocktail, you know, all fruits mixed up of various, these fruits are various displays of godly character in the life of the believer of Jesus Christ. And as we mix up these fruits today a little bit more, we see that acts of kindness are enhanced by the fruit of faithfulness. So let's first understand what faithfulness is, the certainty of faithfulness. This term, faithfulness, pistos, in the original language, as a verb, it means to put your faith in something. Your faith in something. Just like right now, where you're at, that chair you're seated in, you trust that chair so much that since you sat down just a few minutes ago, you haven't been worried about it caving in and you falling to the floor, have you? No, even though that chair is, I guess, more than 15 years old and has had hundreds of people seated in it, and moved all over this auditorium and throughout this building, you're not concerned right now, like, I hope this doesn't fall. You know, I don't see anybody with beads of sweat on your forehead right now concerned, because you are completely trusting that chair to hold you. You're not concerned about it. And that's a bit what this word is. But in this context, it's not a verb, it's a noun. Faithfulness is a noun here, and it's portraying a description of confidence, trustworthiness, reliability. It communicates the idea of being certain or sure that one or something is worthy of trust. It's dependable. It's dependable. I guess you could say that the chair you're seated in right now is faithful. Is faithful. That gives you an idea of what we're talking about today. Now, you didn't come today to talk about chairs, did you? Or you didn't even come to talk about the Olympics, like the whole world is right now. You came expecting to talk about the Bible. And therefore, let's understand first and foremost that faithful followers of Christ must first be faith-filled believers in Christ. You see, faithfulness is believing that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. It's continuing trusting and believing in Jesus despite the difficulties of life. And this means we trust what God says in the Bible and not necessarily what the world is saying about Jesus, or even what our own eyes are telling us. We are believing the testimony of Jesus. By the way, are you certain of who Jesus Christ is today? Do you have a absolute confidence that Jesus is God in the flesh and he's faithful to cover your sin with his blood? Are you convinced of that today? You see, if we want to be faithful followers of Jesus, and we must believe that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And that word believe is that same word, pistis, or pistos, however you pronounce it. That's the word belief or trust or faith. Do you, this is a personal question, do you trust his faithfulness with all of the circumstances in your life, even the hard stuff like deceptive attacks of the world all around us, or the diseases that cause even healthy people to become sick and die? You know, that's really hard stuff. Do you trust him with those things? Do you believe that God's promise is true, that God will work all things for good to those who are called according to his purpose? You see, if we're gonna be faithful people, we must trust he will work everything out for good. We must trust he works his will in our lives. We must trust that our struggles on earth are nothing. They're nothing compared to the glories that await us. We have to believe those things. We have to have faith in those things. And the only way we can accept God's faithfulness to keep his promises is by his Holy Spirit's influence in our lives, guiding us to trust and to seek God. The Holy Spirit must give us faith. It's God that gives us faith, and it's God that makes us faithful. So if you've placed your faith in Jesus, then you can be absolutely certain that God is faithfully growing you into a faithful follower of Jesus. You can be confident of that. We can only be certain our faithful God works to make us faithful people. Now, I saw this word faithfulness, I began to search the scriptures for a faithful person that we could talk about today. And you know what I discovered more than anything else? I discovered a faithful God. I discovered a faithful God because the scriptures are filled with a lot of unfaithful people. And what I discovered is a faithful God. But there was one in the New Testament that stood out to me. Matter of fact, if you took your New Testament and you had my job this morning and you were going to present a faithful person, give an example of a faithful person from the New Testament, who would you talk about this morning if you were me? Someone from the New Testament. Well, I'll give you a hint who I discovered. Here's your first hint. It's right here. There it is. You recognize what that is, even in the back row, don't you? That's a sponge. So this gives you a hint of who I found in the New Testament for faithfulness. Some of you are thinking, oh, SpongeBob. No, not SpongeBob. You know who I discovered in the New Testament as an example of faithfulness? Simon, the sponge. Simon the sponge? What are you talking about? And you're thinking, boy, Pastor Adam better get him off the platform. He's going crazy. No, yeah, SpongeBob, or not SpongeBob, that's wrong. Wonder how many times I'm going to say that this morning now. Simon the sponge. You probably recognize him more as Peter the Rock. And by the way, this is one of Peter's rocks I took out of the parking lot this morning. So I'm sorry, I'll put it back, I promise. Yeah, Peter the Rock. What? You're crazy, Pastor David. Haven't you really looked at Peter much here in the scriptures as an example of faithfulness? Well, that's probably why I said Simon the sponge, you see. By the way, you want to see this, and we got to do this fast this morning. A little survey on the life of Peter, okay? So you got a Bible in front of you, because I'm not going to put the words on the screen behind me. But go to John chapter 1, and you'll see Peter, or let me say you'll see Simon, the sponge. Let's start there. You'll see Simon the sponge. Are you there in John chapter 1 verse 35? Where it talks in verse 35 about John the Baptist is with two of his disciples. And here comes Jesus walking by. And John the Baptist says, what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what he says. And then it goes on to tell us that these disciples, these two that heard this, they follow Jesus. And Jesus saw them following, and he said, what are you seeking? And they said, well, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said, well, come and see. And they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. Now, one of the two disciples of John who heard Jesus speak followed Jesus. His name was Andrew. Can you see who Andrew is here in the scriptures? Who is it? How's he related to Simon? This is his brother. This is Andrew, the brother of Peter. And so then Andrew, one of the first things he did is he went and found his brother Simon. There's Simon. And said, we have found the Messiah, which means the Christ. And I love this. Here we have it. So he, Andrew, brings Simon to Jesus, and he looked at him, and he said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter, I think it's Petros, the rock. So right away, Jesus identifies a man, and I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm too excited. He recognizes here's a man, Peter, the rock, and he's describing what he would become, not what he is. It's for the same reason that he calls us into fellowship with himself. You see, we too are like Simon the sponge. We're unfaithful to God, and yet our faithful God calls us to know him, even when we are his enemies. He calls us into a relationship. He chooses to have us relate to him, even when we're unfaithful to him. I like how Paul put this in 1 Corinthians 1, where he says, "He who sustains you to the end, guiltless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ." God is, what's the next word? God is what? He is faithful. God is faithful. By whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, we can be confident. We can be confident that God's faithfully called us into a relationship with himself. His faithfulness is also evident. It's evidence that he is, here it is, patiently growing us into faithful disciples. This is part of his faithfulness. He's not only called us into a fellowship with himself, but he's patiently growing us into faithful disciples. And that's a testimony of what we see in Simon's life. He's faithfully growing Simon. Now look at chapter 6. You got your Bibles in chapter 1 of John. Flip over a couple pages in chapter 6. And I want you to see that Peter here, and he actually does look like Peter the Rock in what we're going to read. It's here in chapter 6, verse 66, the teaching ministry of Jesus continues. And by now, Simon Peter has become a follower of Jesus. He's set aside his nets, and he's following the Lord. He's faithfully following the Lord. But here's what it says in the record of chapter 6, verse 66. It says, whoops, I got to get there. It says, "And after many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him." Jesus is now, people are opposing his preaching. His preaching is difficult to accept. There's opposition, and many are abandoning Jesus. They're unfaithful to him. But in these verses, we're getting ready to read something different about Simon Peter here. And looking now in verse 67, "So Jesus called the 12 and said, 'Do you want to go away as well?' And Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed, and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' And Jesus answered them and said, 'Did I not choose the 12? And yet there's one of you that's a devil.'" He's not talking about Simon Peter at that moment. He's talking about Judas, who's not even one of his faithful followers, really. He's just following Jesus. But what we see here is this testimony where Peter is beginning to look like the rock and not like Simon the sponge. He shows a lot of faithfulness in his testimony. He says, "You have the words of eternal life." And interesting, there's another record in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus and his followers at Caesarea Philippi, And they're discussing who Jesus is. And Jesus said to his disciples, who do people say I am? And they said, well, you know, some people say you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said right to them, but who do you say that I am? Do you know what Simon Peter said at that moment? This is a great statement. And he's really looking like Peter the Rock here when he says, why, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Verse 18 of Matthew says, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, Peter's arrived. He's there. He's been sanctified. He's become the solid rock. He's convinced. He's fully faithful, right? Well, not so quick. Not so quick. We're not done with Peter's story, are we? As a matter of fact, Matthew records this, and I won't have you turn there, but in Matthew 16, on another occasion, when Jesus began to show his disciples how he would suffer many things and how he would be killed and on the third day raised, Simon, took Jesus aside and rebuked him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen. Oh, but Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me. You know what he calls him at this point? He calls him Satan. He calls him Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of men. You see, Jesus calls Simon Peter Satan and reprimands him for thinking man's way and not God's way. God's way was the way of suffering, and he knew it was God's will that Jesus would suffer. And Satan was tempting Jesus through Peter at this moment, not to go to the cross, not to die. But that wasn't God's will, was it? And therefore, Peter is reprimanded for being a tempter at that point. By the way, so does the Lord give up now on Peter? Like, oh, Peter, go back to your fishing job. You can't be one of my followers anymore. Is that what he does? No. He's patiently working in him to make him a faithful follower. You see, this isn't the last time that Peter looks like Simon the sponge. As a matter of fact, look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Flip your Bibles there. And you can see another occasion in John 13. This is in the upper room, just hours before the Lord is betrayed. And he's with his disciples. And he's telling his disciples what he would go through. And in verse 36 of John 13, Simon said, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me afterward. And Peter says, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. You see, Peter was so confident in his own faithfulness in the Lord that he wouldn't deny the Lord. But Jesus knew differently. Jesus knew what would happen. And yet, Jesus patiently works to make Simon, a faithful follower, into Peter, the rock. By the way, you might think, well, how did Jesus work in this way in Peter's life? Well, part of the answer is in Luke 22, and we don't have time to look at it, but in Luke 22, it's recorded that Jesus told Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, then strengthen your brothers. And Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you have denied me three times. He knew what was going to happen. And what's he do? Jesus is praying for Peter. He's praying for him. He knew he would deny him, but he's praying that once he did deny, he would return and become a faithful follower. He didn't just send Peter back to fishing. Why? Why did he continue allowing Peter to follow as one of his closest disciples? Well, here's the answer. Because the God of peace, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, sanctifies us completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body may be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls is, next word, everybody. He who calls is what? Faithful. And he will surely do it. He will surely do it. We can be confident, as Paul told the Philippians. We can be confident that he who began the good work in us will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We can be confident in this. We can be confident. Well, surely this is the last time we see Peter's unfaithfulness, right? Wrong. Chapter 18, you're in 13, but if you skip over to 18, you have that another place where Peter was reprimanded by Jesus. And it's in chapter 18, and it's verse 10 and 11. And here, he has to tell Peter, put away your sword. It's just before they arrest Jesus. And when those soldiers all gather there, Peter takes the matter into his own hands and he grabs his sword and he whacks off that guy's ear. You remember that? And Jesus reprimands him and says, Peter, put away your sword. So he's not arrived yet. He's not a faithful follower. He's trying to take matters into his own hand. He's trying to keep Jesus from fulfilling God's will. This is Simon the sponge still. He's not become Peter the rock yet. He's still in process, right? It's God's faithful work in him. And then right here in chapter 18 as well, you can see it in verses 15 of chapter 18 where he says, here at Jesus' arrest, he's been arrested, and Simon's following Jesus. And so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside the door. So the other disciple who was with him, known to the high priest, went out and he spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door. And he also brought in Peter. Jesus is arrested. And the servant girl at the door said to Peter, hey, you also are one of those men's disciples, aren't you? And he said, I'm not one. By the way, that's number one, right? That's his first denial. Now, the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. And Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. And then skip up to verse 25 of chapter 18. Now, Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they said to him, "Hey, you also are one of those disciples, aren't you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." Number two, one of the servants of the high priest, a relative of this man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And Peter again denied it. And at once there was a rooster that crowed, and that's number three. Three denials of Peter. And here we have Peter, who, by the way, felt terrible about this. And how do we know? Well, it's not recorded in John's gospel, but it is recorded in Luke's gospel that at that moment, at that third denial, the Lord turned. He must have been in close proximity. He turned and he made eye contact with Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." What was Peter's response? He went away and he wept bitterly. By the way, just to pause and say, those moments where we recognize our unfaithfulness are really hard. When we realize that we blew it, God called me to be faithful, and here I am acting like this. I should have kept my mouth shut. I should have not done that. Why? And then just, shame can come over us. And we too can find ourselves weeping bitterly over our own sin. And that's what we have here with Peter. He is saddened by his own failure, and he is not faithful. He recognizes he is Simon the sponge and not Peter the rock. And yet the Lord is patient with us, even in our failures, and works to grow us into faithful followers. He's faithful. He's faithful to deliver us from temptations and trials. Did you know that? That's why 1 Corinthians tells us that there's no temptation overtaken you except for common to men. God is, what's the next word, class? God is faithful. There it is again. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, will provide a way of escape that you're able to endure it. He's faithful to deliver us. He's faithful to deliver us. And by the way, in the story of Peter, after weeping bitterly, and Peter's death and burial, I love it in John chapter 20, when Peter hears that Jesus isn't in the tomb, what does he do? He runs to the tomb. I love the account because the writer John makes it real clear that Peter didn't beat him to the tomb. John clearly says, he got there after me. You know, that's just a side point that I think is humorous. But here it is, Peter running to the tomb. The Lord's faithfulness to Peter, though, is seen in chapter 21. So go to chapter 21 of John, and you can see the faithfulness of the Lord to Peter. It's evident in chapter 21. And by the way, we're not going to read 1 through 14. It's a great fishing story. Some of you are saying, "Oh yeah, please read one." And it's after Jesus has been resurrected, and the disciples had decided, "Hey, what are we going to do now? You know, what are we going to do?" They didn't know what to do, and so they said, "Well, we'll go fishing." And so there they are. They go fishing, and they catch a whole lot of fish. How many fish did they catch? How many? 153. Well, you're right, Mark. The first time they didn't catch any. And Jesus said, "Throw your net on the other side of the boat." And then they catch 153. And Jesus makes a nice meal there on the beach for them. And this is where we can see how Peter, the Lord's not done with Peter. He commissions him. He gives him great purpose. He's not done. He didn't become unqualified for ministry, and you can see it in verses 15 through 17. And when they had finished their breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Probably referring to the other disciples. "Do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? He said this a third time to him. Peter was grieved. And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Here it is. The Lord's not done with Peter. He is showing him that he is still very qualified to serve. He has been tempted and he has been tried, but he hasn't destroyed his ministry. He forgives. He's faithful. Jesus is faithful to forgive Peter for his failure, for his sin. And likewise, our Lord is faithful to forgive us, isn't he? Because the Scriptures tell us, if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is our faithful God. We blow it, and he's faithfully forgives our sins and faithfully gives us purpose once again. It's a wonderful thing. Now, notice also in chapter 21, this kind of ends our look at Peter's life, but here in chapter 21, you'll see in verse 18, we discover the faithfulness of the Lord in Peter. He says, "Now truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." And here's what's going on here. It tells in verse 19 of chapter 21 that he said this to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Don't you love it? Jesus tells Peter that he would be faithful, even to death. Though the pages of Scripture don't record how he died, but historians have evidence that Peter the Rock, faithfully died by crucifixion. Yet, we don't know for certain, but it appears as if he actually asked to be crucified, not like his Lord, because he had been so unfaithful to his Lord. He asked to die being crucified upside down. Well, in spite of these gruesome details and Peter hearing about how he's going to die, he must have taken some comfort and joy in hearing that his death would glorify the Lord. You see, Peter's love for Jesus and his desire to obey and glorify him was evident throughout the rest of his life and ministry. And for Peter to die a martyr's death, clinging to the hope of heaven, testifies to the courage and faith and patience and perseverance of this great man of God who rejoiced to be counted worthy to die for the name of Jesus. You see, God is faithfully forgiving our sin. And God is faithful in giving us confidence in our eternal life. He gives us confidence in that. I love how, we could go to the Psalms. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your domain endures throughout all generation. The Lord is faithful. There it is. He is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. We can have great confidence in His faithfulness. You see, our God is faithfully growing us into faithful followers, and we should be filled with God's grace. Faithfulness in God's grace, filled with overflowing and acts of kindness, even when it's inconvenient. Peter had a very inconvenient life. It was not easy. And did Peter give up following Jesus after he denied Christ? No. No, he didn't. And we shouldn't either. We should faithfully receive grace from the Lord, even in our failures, even in our unfaithfulness, even when we look like Simon the sponge instead of Peter the rock. We can be confident that he extends His grace to us. Even as 1 Peter 1 tells us, we should prepare our minds for action and be sober-minded. We should set our hope fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Will we fail our Lord? Yes. But we need to understand His faithfulness and receive His grace to forgive us. And we need to press on. Press on, faithfully proclaiming grace to others. That's what Peter did. Peter put the past in its place. He moved on, realizing he had been forgiven by his Lord. And he went on to lead the church of Jesus Christ as a leader, faithfully preaching in Acts chapter 2 to thousands of people. And in Acts chapter 2, we read that some 3,000 came to Christ that day. This is Peter who had become Peter the Rock. And we too must be so filled with God's grace that we can speak confidently, even as 1 Peter tells us. And by the way, who wrote this? Peter. Peter wrote that each of us has received a gift, and we should use it to serve one another as God's stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. We are called to be gospel lights in this dark world, and let's be faithful to tell those we rub shoulders with about Jesus, and let's faithfully extend grace through humble service. Humble service. Likewise, Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Likewise, you who are younger should be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Our faithfulness should be evident in the way we interact with our families and our friends, the way we interact with our neighbors and our employers. We should be faithful to them. I like think back not to the 2024 Olympics, but let's think back to the 1924 Olympics in Paris, France. Let's think back to that. See, Eric Little. Now, I'm going to give you just maybe a little bit of information about Eric, but if you're thinking, I am not watching the Olympics this year, refuse to. Here's what you can do. You can find a good biography on Eric Little and read about this man who was a humble servant and a faithful proclaimer of the gospel. He was born to run. He said that. And in 1924, he was so faithful to his Lord that he had a conviction that he should not run on the Lord's Day on Sunday. And you're probably familiar with this. So instead of running the 100 meter on the Lord's Day, instead, he agreed to run the 400 meter. And guess what? He was victorious. He was victorious. And he became a hero in his country. He was Scottish by descent, but he was running for England, and he was a hero. But shortly after the Olympics, he knew that he was not only born to run, but he was also born for China. And Eric Little, shortly after winning the Olympics, announced that he was going to go to China, where he was born as the son of missionaries. He was going to return to China, and he was going to proclaim the gospel to those in China. And so he did. This was during World War II. He was imprisoned in China. And you know, he was faithful to finish his course even while imprisoned in China. As a matter of fact, one article I read, which the Gospel Coalition makes a man recorded this, and it's in a Gospel Coalition article. This is a snapshot of a missionary faithfully at work. And at this point, Little had already physically suffered because he had a brain tumor that would eventually take his life. But even then, even though he had a brain tumor and had that struggle, he still engaged in ministry to others, leading Bible studies, counseling, doing physical labor, just to meet the needs of those around him. This continued until February 21st of 1945, when he died. At the age of 43, he died. Here is an example of faithfulness. Eric Little. What a humble servant he was. Now, as we end, I'm going to remind you that the fruit of faithfulness is actually all around us. The fruit of faithfulness is all around us. We have so many examples of unfaithfulness, but the fruit of faithfulness is all around us. Just look around the room, as I did. I've looked around the church house, and I've seen faithfulness in people who are pulling weeds from the sidewalk cracks outside of this building. I've seen faithfulness in many who helped upgrade the landscape all around the church house. I've seen faithfulness of several who helped transplant and water plants even during the heat of the summer. I've seen faithfulness of those who right now are ministering to our youngsters in the other end of this building. I've seen faithfulness of those who have served campers at Scioto Hills this summer. I've seen the faithfulness of many who visit the sick, many who help drive others to the doctor. I've seen the faithfulness of many who provide food for those who need some help as they've recently undergone surgeries. I've seen the faithfulness of some of our people even sewing to provide gifts for Operation Christmas Child this year, and on the list goes. You look around us. If you're looking for an example of faithfulness, it's around us. You just need to open your eyes and get involved and see what's happening even here at Shawnee. And around the globe, there's faithful believers who are faithfully following the Lord. Now, there's many examples, and tonight at your family life group, I hope you'll raise the question, what's a good example of faithfulness that you've seen both here in the church, or maybe even outside of the church in the community, or maybe it's an example of faithfulness that you've seen in the Scriptures? That's a good question for your family life group. Maybe your family life group want to ask the question, what temptation or trial might cause us to become unfaithful to our Lord? And as Jesus prayed for Peter in your family life groups, I hope you can pray for one another that we too will be faithful even to the end for our Lord. These are good questions to consider. And I leave you with one question, even as the music team comes to lead us in a song. I leave you with one question. Are you a sponge like Simon, unfaithful? Or are you a rock like Peter, faithful, faithful? But the one thing I know, if you're a child of God, and if you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you're in a process from becoming Simon to become a Peter. Let's pray. We need, Father, first to be reminded that you have been so faithful to us. And again, I've seen in the Scriptures, your faithfulness is evident all around us. You are faithful to us. And may we become increasingly faithful to you and to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able, will you stand? And we're going to sing. And before we go, if you need someone to pray with you today, just please ask. We'd love to pray with you, be an encouragement to you.